Want to advertise your business in a cost-effective way? It's time to give podcast advertising a try. Research shows a high rate of podcast listeners made a purchase as a result of an ad they heard on a podcast. Visit podbean.com/brands to launch a cost-effective podcast advertising campaign in minutes. That's podbean.com/brands.
Welcome to Yolitics, the home of cold beer and hot takes on Texas politics.
You're finally ready, Wheeler?
Yeah, I think I'm there.
About time, man.
Hey, I'm on vacation, man, even though here I am working, right?
Yeah, so we're...
I mean, it's par for the course.
Well, yeah, not all of us are on spring break this week, but congratulations to you. Where are you? Why are you working today on your day off, man?
I guess I missed you guys, and it's just something in my blood, I guess.
Stop it, dude. Seriously, come on.
I'm a great employee.
The boss doesn't listen to this podcast. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, she does.
So, yeah, she does, actually. So why aren't you on the road somewhere, man?
Well,
with all the Wheeler ladies.
Well, that's an interesting story in its own right. I had big plans, that we would go here or there or there. And I had it all picked out. And I was doing all the research and staying up till 3 a.m. and planning things. And people kept throwing roadblocks in my way. And if you've ever planned a vacation for your family, you know what this is like. I can't leave this day because of this. And I still have this to do. And I got that. And I don't want to go there. And I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to be in the car for that long. And so, you know, you're just adjusting to all these different parameters. And then in the end, I had it all like tied up with a nice, beautiful bow on it. And my wife says, I'm getting my hair done on Monday. Okay, let me just crumble this up and throw it in the trash can then, and let's just sit at home and wait for that.
That'll be a hell of a vacation, man. Yeah, you need a beer to take the edge off. What are you drinking today, man?
I've got one. It just so happens it's called, and I've seen this. I've never had it. It's the Shiner Vice and Easy because
really?
Yeah, I'd like to be taking it nice and easy, but I'm not quite there yet.
I have the. This is a new one for me. It's from Lakewood Brewing in Garland. It's muy importante.
I like that.
Very important margarita lager. So let's crack it open.
It's a margarita lager. This is a grape something or another, I think. That's what I get hints of grape in this.
Woo! I feel like I need
and
my...
it's got purple lettering, so I think that's what this is.
Yeah, I need my feet in the sand to be drinking this. It's not bad. It doesn't... a real strong lime taste, but it's pretty good.
This almost tastes like a grape juice, so this one could be dangerous, folks. Be wary of the Shiner Vice and Easy. I always say that with drinks that seem like it's just like juice or something sweet and nice, and you're not even noticing it, and, you know, 8 or 9 in, you go, oh, my goodness, this isn't grape juice.
Nice. Well, we are talking about, is every family going to be like the Wheelers, the Wheeler family, this spring break, or are people actually going to go places? And so, you know, two of the big places in Texas, obviously, are the beaches. For most of us, it's probably Galveston. For people who live in Central and South Texas, it's South Padre Island. I've been to both, fortunately. South Padre is gorgeous. Galveston's closer.
The water is prettier in South Padre. I like the city better in Galveston, though. There's a lot more there. And, you know, I have to be partial to it because I was born in Galveston County. Got to give some love there.
The native son. Yes, the prodigal son here.
I don't know about that, but native, yes.
So the big question for this podcast is, so how is the governor's, you know, new orders on Wednesday? You know, that's when the mask mandate goes away. That's when all businesses can go back to 100%. But we've noticed that most businesses say, hey, you know, we're going to go with the CDC guidelines here just a little longer. Thanks a lot, Governor, for, you know, the heads up on this. We appreciate that the state is not telling us what to do. But now that it is in our hands, we're going to kind of, you know, sit with this. But what is interesting about this is the sense of optimism that our two guests on this podcast have shared with us, Jason.
And I totally get that. These businesses over the last year have just been through so much. And, you know, it's amazing that many of them have been able to even hang on this long. And so I get the optimism. I'm just curious how ordinary people are feeling right now. And you see the traffic out there. I've seen it in North Texas. I just saw somebody saying the other day on Facebook, the Houston traffic is back. It is real. Mm. So people are ready. They're primed. They're ready to get out once again. I'm not comfortable yet with the big crowds. I think that's going to take a little while. I haven't had any vaccines yet, though, either. And so
you've never been comfortable with big crowds, though.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I
do my best to run.
Yeah, right. Well, quick side story. I took my family over to Fort Worth this weekend. Took my sons to the Stockyards. They'd never really kind of been to the Stockyards. 8 and 5 years old, so they would like to see the livestock, etc. The place was packed, absolutely packed. The sidewalks, when you're looking, about to cross the street and walk down into the Stockyards, the sidewalks on each side there looked like New York City, just a sea of heads the whole time.
So you felt like you stepped back into 2019 for a few minutes.
30% of the people had masks on. You walk by, and I'm like hypersensitive. I hear somebody sneeze. I'm like, oh, hell, it's on right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's on.
Yeah.
Come on, kids. We're crossing the street right now, darting out into traffic. So people are out there. And for this podcast, the first person we called is a landmark down in Galveston. There, and Galveston has a lot of landmarks for as old as that city is, the first city in Texas. Mm-hmm. But this place is called The Spot. And if you've ever been there to Galveston, I'm sure you have, you've probably been to The Spot. It's a very cool-looking two-story tiki hut-looking bar on the seawall at 32nd. And the owner of it is Dennis Bird here. Is that a Topo Chico or is that a Corona?
No, this, I wish it was a Corona. It's a Topo Chico with a twist of grapefruit, which is really good.
Thanks for joining us for this call. I've been, doing some research on you guys. I've been to The Spot many times. For those of you who haven't been to The Spot, it is a very cool two-story tiki hut type beach bar right on the seawall in Galveston. Mm-hmm. At 32nd, a little ways down the seawall, but it's an excellent place. And y'all been around for years. So congratulations on that. I'm glad we're talking in a little better circumstances, because 2020 wasn't that good for you. But 2021, how's it looking so far?
Well, I tell you, Jason, based on this past weekend, which is traditionally not busy, right? This is sort of the precursor to spring break. And spring break technically begins this Friday, the 12th, somewhere around there. The island was unbelievably packed Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I think it paints a tremendous picture for what summer 2021 is going to be like.
There is this incredible pent-up demand. So many people have been, shying away from things for a long time now. Do you think it was packed because we're at spring break, because people have just been at home too much, or because they finally feel like they've gotten sort of the green light from the governor, who is saying that this week we're opening up to 100% capacity and taking away the mask mandate?
I think you've got a lot going on, right? You've got COVID fatigue. We've been in this for a year now. You've got the polar vortex fatigue, right? People are just fixing their pipes. You've got the governor who says, listen, do what you can to keep yourself safe, but we're going to allow businesses to open at 100%. And we're going to allow you to make your own decision whether or not you want to wear a mask. And vaccinations are ramping up. I think yesterday there was more than 2 million vaccinations nationwide. Hospitalizations are going down. You start putting all of this stuff together, and I think that what you're looking at is May, June, and July is really 80% back to what normal was pre-pandemic.
Wow. And Dennis, tell me what you guys are doing there at The Spot, because it's in the past, when I've been there pre-pandemic, it's been packed. But you guys have plastic partitions up. You're still requiring employees to wear masks. What else are you doing, even though that we're going to go to 100% later this week?
Right. So the health, safety, and sanitation measures that we've implemented over the last 12 months will remain for the foreseeable future. Social distancing, frequent hand washing, hand sanitizing stations, partitions between tables, all of our team in masks, as well as encouraging our guests to wear masks. However, we are hospitality, So we don't want to be in the business of being in a debate. We will politely ask you to wear a mask. We will provide one to you if you don't have one. If you decide that you don't want to wear a mask, we're simply going to get you sat very quickly, and you're going to enjoy your experience like everyone else. And it's not going to be until we see vaccinations continue to ramp up, hospitalizations continue to decrease, before we really feel like we're in a better environment to release and rescind some of those safety measures.
You said that if customers come in and don't have on their mask, that you guys would be able to get them a seat pretty quickly and make sure that they're taken care of. If I'm not wearing a mask and I come into the spot, do I get seated before somebody else?
So that's going to be a delicate balance, and we haven't gotten there yet. It's going to be a very delicate balance, and it very well could be the case. You know, the health and safety of all of our guests and all of our team is what's important. We don't want to be in the business of debate, and so it very well may be that if you don't have a mask for whatever reason, you don't want to wear it because the governor said, or you've been vaccinated. But if we feel that makes others around you uncomfortable, it very well may mean that we get you seated ahead of another guest. We haven't encountered that yet. I anticipate that'll happen midweek, but it's going to be a delicate balance. And what you can expect is you can expect that on Wednesday, March the 10th at 11 a.m., I'll be at the hostess stand assisting our team in working through this.
Jason, you have no idea what you just opened up there. As soon as they go on a wait now, everybody's going to take off the mask.
If there's a three-hour wait, I'm taking my mask off. I'm going to the front of the line here. What are you talking about?
Always looking to leapfrog.
Could be the case.
As you mentioned, the vaccines are ramping up much more so than they were even just several weeks ago. But of course, we're not there yet. And so I'm curious, after a year of this, because we all develop new behaviors out of this, what is it like again to be around a big crowd of people like you saw in Galveston over the weekend? I mean, I know as a business owner, it's great, but is there sort of a little bit of apprehension because it's something to get used to again?
Tremendous apprehension. It's a very, very fine line. So you take our foursome of bars, for example, at the spot. Our foursome of bars, we're not bringing back bands. We're not bringing back UFC. We're not allowing standing room only. We're just not there yet. A lot of what we do now with COVID, it's about transparency and it's about optics. So what is best for our team, our guests, and our community? And you really evaluate that daily. So, I get asked all the time, Dennis, when are the bands coming back? When is UFC coming back? We understand that your bars are at capacity, but why can't we walk in there and just stand up? We don't need a seat. And the answer is just, I haven't made that subjective decision yet. The timing just isn't right. The governor says I can do it. The guests want it. But from a managerial perspective, we're just not there yet. And it'll take a little bit more time.
What's it going to take to get you there? Because I would think at some point with all the numbers and trends improving that, the color of green is going to start to look good again, huh?
Well, Galveston is a drive-to leisure destination, 32 miles of beaches. Drive-to leisure destinations have outperformed the broader market across the United States. So we're filling all of the seats that we have available, and we have been doing so since the governor opened us back on May 1 of 2020. So the interesting capacity restriction result was you had really, really long wait times. So summer of 2020, wait times approached 3 hours at the spot. Wow. So guests were standing in line outside as opposed to sitting at a table inside. And so it's just this really interesting dynamic. And, to answer the question, when does it happen? I don't know. I mean, right now, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're 75% capacity now, but we still had tremendous wait times. I anticipate that on Wednesday, when we move to 100% capacity, we're still going to have wait times. So it's not yet a monetary problem in Galveston. Very well could be the case on the other side of the causeway. But in Galveston, people are still coming in tremendous numbers. And it's just going to be an internal decision. And I don't know what the answer is as to when. I would hope that it comes back sometime in summer 2021. That's to be determined.
You know, I want to ask you this because I think everybody, you know, got to the end of 2020 and thought, let's burn this, you know, let's put this in the fireplace and just burn it. It's been that kind of a year. But Dennis, you know that everything teaches us something. You've been in this business a long time. I know you've made a lot of adjustments. You've adapted a lot in this past year. What would stand out to you as things that you will go forward with and think, hey, I'm keeping this, or I learned this and I'm going to keep that with me because that actually made us better?
Yes. So in my business, from a marketing perspective, what I learned that the guests really wanted during COVID was transparency, and they wanted connection with the owner of the business. So I've been here 19 or 20 years this May, me owning it. I think we've been here 22 or 23 in May as well. And one thing that I hadn't ever done was sort of been the face of the business. And what I learned is that the guest wanted to connect with the face of the business. That's something that we'll continue to do. They wanted transparency. They wanted to understand my perspective, spoken directly from me. But when it comes to safety, something that I've expressed to my managers is masks in kitchens may be something that's here to stay forever. I think that from an optic standpoint, I really like my cooks being in masks because it protects your meals. The frequency of sanitizing commonly touched areas, I think it's here forever. Those are a couple of the things, or maybe three of the things, that I think that'll be here for a long time. And I'm sure there's others that I could think of as we, you know, continue to think through it. But I believe that COVID-19 has changed the landscape of the hospitality industry forever. There are going to be things that we learned over the last 12-month period that we're going to carry forward for the next two decades. Maybe it isn't everything. Maybe there aren't partitions between tables forever. But they're just things that we learned along the way that I think all restaurateurs are going to continue to do for a very long time.
Dennis, happy birthday to you, man. You just had a birthday last week, right?
February 29th. And so, every 4 years I get a birthday, but you know, last week I got to celebrate on the 28th and the 1st. And so for everyone who forgot my birthday, they always get an extra day every 3 years.
Heck yeah, man.
Wish me happy That's birthday awesome. Again.
Well, let me ask you about, happy birthday to you on that. And before I ask you a question, is it true that this is the only job you've ever had, that you started there in 98 when it opened and then got an opportunity to buy the business and did that?
That's correct. I was 18 years old. I took a job bussing tables at the Spot Restaurant. The owner and I became close. His daughter and I attended LSU together. It's the only job I've ever had. It's the only thing that I understand. And yes, upon graduating LSU, I had a lease with an option to buy. And 3 years later, I bought it. And 19 or 20 years later, I'm still here.
Well, so you started when you were 18. And I guess if we count those February 29th birthdays only, you're still only 23 or so all these years later.
I'm 10.25 in real birthdays. I'm 41 in years.
That's awesome. Hey, so in, let me back this up for the listener. In 2019, you guys served, what, 750,000 guests in 2019. Huge year. The economy's booming. Things are happening. Mm-hmm. People are down there on the beach. Then last March, I think you mentioned 1 year ago now, sales plummeted 95%, and you had to furlough 171 of your 200 employees, I read. And then this is interesting, though, for our listener. I want to ask you about this too, Dennis. In May, 10 months ago, when people started getting their first coronavirus checks, the stimulus checks that went out, the very first ones, you decided to do something kind of risky down there.
We did. You've done your research.
A little bit.
We did. Yeah. So you're right. In April of or March of 2020, yes, sales plummeted 95%, which interestingly, I had 2 weeks of sales in 2020 that were equal to my first 2 weeks of sales when I bought the restaurant in 2002. Wow. So it takes you back, you know, 18 or 19 years. But yes, and we had to furlough 90% of our workforce. We had never experienced that. Literally got on the internet, Googled furlough, what does it mean? Figured out how to write a letter to furlough team members. And then we applied for and received these payroll protection loans. And what we noticed And the numbers were very, very small, but the percentages were meaningful. So when the federal government released their first round of stimulus checks, we had 2 weeks that our sales were down 95%. That third week, our sales were only down 85%. The dollars were really, really small, but the percentage was tremendously greater. And the only variable were the stimulus checks. And so it taught me an interesting lesson, which was when you give someone cash, they spend it. Generally, they don't go and save it. And it stimulated the economy exactly like the federal government intended it to. And so when we received our payroll protection loan, the first thing I said is, we're going to stimulate our local economy. And we're going to do that by taking care of our team. So we paid every team member $15 an hour. If you were with us more than a decade, we paid you $20 an hour. All of our graduating high school students and college students, they received a $250 graduation bonus. We had some older team members who just felt tremendously uncomfortable with COVID. We paid them $20 an hour to stay home, 40 hours a week guaranteed. And what we received back from that was just a tremendous amount of gratitude. We had someone who came to me, an adult man, and just hugged me and said, I paid my mortgage payment. I hadn't had that opportunity. We had an adult woman said, I was able to pay for my car note. I didn't have that opportunity. So when I think back on it today, I mean, you know, what gets me emotional in business is really my team. I mean, we spend more hours with my team, and as do you all, than we do with our family. So it gets me emotional to talk about furloughs, and it gets me emotional to talk about how we took care of our team, because it really made an impact. And it will go down as one of the best decisions that we ever made as a company. And I think that we took care of our team well. We brought everybody back. And so it's just been a tremendous blessing.
I'm glad that you all and so many other business owners were able to tap into that paycheck protection. The help was definitely needed. Did you ever have a point, especially if you wouldn't have had that, did you ever have a point last year? I mean, you've been around for a long time, but did you ever start thinking, God, I don't know if we can make it through this? A lot of restaurants and bars didn't.
Well, I'll tell you something I learned about myself that maybe I didn't understand is what I've learned in the last 12 months is I'm an eternal optimist. I never understood that about myself, but I'll give you a perfect example. Yes, in April, we now receive weekly cash flow reports that tells me what are the status of our bank accounts. And I think it was April 23rd of last year, I got that update and my operating account for the Spot restaurant was negative $416. We had no money, but I never told my team that. I told my team that story months later, June, July, August of sometime of 2020, because I wanted to convey to them that businesses have financial challenges the same way that individuals have financial challenges. And the way that you get through that is you work hard and you're optimistic and you don't get down on it. So did I ever think that the company could go bust? I would say that I didn't think it, but it certainly was a reality. It was a reality in April of 2020 when our bank account was negative, but I feel like we would have figured it out, and I don't know how, but you know, we would have just done it because it's not me. If I lose the business, I can go on and work for someone else or open another business, but I've got on average 225 people who depend on me for a payroll check every other Wednesday. So we would have figured it out. I don't know how we would have figured it out, but we would have had to do so.
225 employees. Congratulations on that. Looks like you guys have picked up a few more. So being the eternal optimist here, Dennis, when you look at the challenges of last year and what all the business has gone through and what all you've learned, what do you see for the next 12 months?
Well, I'll tell you, just on what I've seen over the last weekend, I think that the next 12 months are going to exceed any expectation that anyone has in terms of travel, leisure, hospitality, dining, drinking, staying in hotels, attractions. I think that the next 12 months are going to just be roaring back beyond where they were in 2019, where they were going in 2020. There's a tremendous amount of liquidity in the market, American savings accounts are at all-time highs. Credit scores are increasing. So you look at this and you say, well, you're in a recession. In a recession, your credit scores don't go up and your savings accounts don't increase. Mm. But that's what's happening. And I think once cruise lines get back online, when people feel comfortable in a plane again, which by the way, I think planes are probably the cleanest now that they've ever been in all of our lives because of this. And that's probably here to remain. I just think the next 12 months is going to surpass anyone's expectation.
And maybe well beyond that, too. There's been some discussion that we may see a new roaring 20s. Last time we had a pandemic just before the 1920s, we saw things take off societally and financially and all of these things. And it's sort of that same setup here where you've got people just sort of raring to go.
They are. They're chomping at the bit to get out of their house. We saw over the last 3 weeks, people that we haven't seen in our restaurant in 11 months, and they all said the same thing. We've got our vaccine. Wow. We're excited to be out. We've been at home waiting for the day that we could travel again. And so that's a minority, right? But it's people that I haven't seen personally in a long time that I've seen now. And that just continues to paint a picture. And bringing back the roaring 20s, absolutely. I heard that recently on an interview that I believe Tillman Fertitta with Landry said on CNBC. And I think he's absolutely right. Absolutely.
How is Tillman still flying his helicopter in all the time to the San Luis Resort there?
He is, yeah. He flies by and checks on the pleasure pier, then goes and lands at the San Luis Resort. He does.
Wow.
It's got to be a good life.
It's a good way to travel, I suppose.
Dennis, it was a great conversation, man. I'm excited about the future after talking to you as a business owner there in Galveston. The future looks bright considering where the numbers are for COVID, the vaccinations, the savings accounts, the pent-up demand that Jason was talking about. There's a lot of stuff happening, and it looks like it's going to be a good spring after talking to you.
We certainly hope so. I thank both of you gentlemen for having us this morning and giving us the opportunity to speak with you. And we encourage everyone, if you're looking to travel, Galveston is a place to be. We'd love to have you at the spot, but I'd be happy with you dining at any of our competitors, staying at any of our hotels, and just enjoying yourself. Galveston is a wonderful place to be between beaches, arts, and history, and it's a great place to travel.
Well, congratulations on surviving to this point. We wish you a lot of safety and success as things continue to open up down there. And many kudos for caring so personally about your staff there. I think that goes a long way.
We appreciate it again, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Wow, a lot of good info in there. You know, I love, you can always tell, Jason, when you're talking to somebody who's shooting straight. I mean, And they lay it all out there. They lay out the things that have bothered them, the things they've learned from, the things that really touched them, and the things that they're still really struggling with and grappling with. And one of the things that stood out to me was this whole notion of, yeah, we got this great plan to, you know, open up on Wednesday and we're ready to go. We're going to ask people to do this, that, and the other. But the one thing we have not figured out yet is, what are we going to do with you if you're standing up there at the hostess stand with no mask on and other people are in masks and we want to keep everybody comfortable, that maybe you get to come to the front of the line, you get that express pass?
So Wheeler and I are the type of people who will watch and see if somebody gets seated before us, whether we're with our family, by ourselves, whatever it is. You see one person in front of us who came in behind us and I'll be, okay, well, you know, maybe we're next. You see the second person and yes. I'm probably going to say something about it. So
I always give one freebie.
I'll give them
and
one.
And then after that, yeah, I'm going to have to say something.
So I understand where Dennis is coming. I completely get where Dennis is coming from. His place is a little different, though, because he doesn't really have any, you know, real windows on the first or second floor. So there's a lot of outside air coming in there.
Right.
But yeah, it's, you know, like one of our producers said, that this is something that a lot of businesses are probably going to be struggling with. What to do with those people who don't want to wear a mask, because what happened last March. Go ahead, Jason.
And what do we do with a hothead like Jason Whiteley, who's going to freak out when the person without the mask gets to go before him? You know, like, how are we going to handle all that?
If our listener only knew who the hothead was. Here's the deal with Wheeler. Wheeler might drive to Miami, Florida this weekend with his family, but and it's doable. Even if he leaves tomorrow on Tuesday, is doable, even if he leaves, you know, midweek, because he can get down there in about 5 hours in his car. He drives like a bat out of hell.
You're setting me up here, and I'm telling you, I am zen like this week, and I've calmed it way down.
Zen like.
I will say this one more note about that though. Who is gonna be uncomfortable standing at the hostess stand with their mask on? Who's gonna be uncomfortable with the person who's standing, you know, a foot or 2 feet away from them who refuses to wear a mask? People, you're going into a restaurant. I haven't been in a restaurant in a long time. You're going into a restaurant where you're all going to take your masks off when you sit down to eat and drink. And this restaurant, as of Wednesday, will be at 100% capacity. Here's a spoiler. When you're sitting at your table, you're probably going to be about as far away from that person as you were going to be at the hostess stand. So in all reality, it's really not going to matter. You're breathing the same air anyway.
Yeah, no doubt. Listen, before...
I mean, let's break it down.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But before, though, we get to our next guest, let me remind our listeners, we'd love to get some feedback from you right now. In the description of this podcast on whatever player you use is a link to a survey we have. And it's not a lot of deep probing questions or anything like that. We just want to get to, look, Wheeler's mind's already gone. We just want to get an idea of who is, who listens to Yolitics. You know, all three of you, we're just curious about, you know, where you're from, what you like about Yolitics, et cetera. What you like about Jason, his hair, you know, whatever that might be. So please click on that link. Give us an idea of who you are and what you think.
I did take just a moment today, since we're on a Zoom call, even though I'm on vacation this week, I did take a moment to, you know, do the hair.
Your hair is always done, head. Man.
I put a little bit of bedhead in there, and it does look sharp today. Got a haircut. I got an at-home haircut. I haven't been to get an actual haircut for a year.
Who cut your hair, Mrs. Wheeler?
She does. Wow. And sometimes I help, because there are spots that need it.
You should be careful giving her a pair of scissors or a straight edge there.
Believe me, I choose my days very wisely with that ask. Now we're going to go to the other beach, the one that is down the coast from Galveston, the other biggie, and that would be South Padre, where I think that they are equally excited, if not more so, than what we just heard from Galveston, because South Padre doesn't just rely on Texans. They rely on the neighbors to the south as well, who come to visit quite a bit. And so this is going to be a crucial week for them and going forward from now. And I think they're excited about it as well, Jason.
Yeah, Jason, so we have Teresa Rodriguez on the line here with us. She is with the Convention and Visitors Bureau down at South Padre Island.
So, Teresa Rodriguez, thanks for being with us here. You are new on the job there at the Convention and Visitors Bureau in South Padre. How long have you been in the position?
This is my third week, which I'm very happy to be able to come here and promote this beautiful island of South Padre.
You're not new to the coast there. You worked up the coast in Corpus Christi, so you've seen a couple spring breaks in your time, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Yes, I was there in Corpus Christi for close to 8 years.
You guys are like the beach destination, the best beach in Texas, bar none. But no one really anticipated COVID last year, and COVID really socked the plans for Corpus and for South Padre last year. So how in the world do you promote it this year, and do you really expect that it's going to be better?
We're becoming more like a family destination vacation. We have seen people from Austin, from Dallas, from San Antonio and Houston, that they're coming to South Padre Island. Even before, during the winter times, of course, but before that, because a lot of people remember that we're working from home. So they say, okay, if I'm going to work from home, I better rent a place in South Padre Island and work from home and then enjoy the beach.
Yeah, I guess that benefits you all a lot, because you've got people who come from Texas. A lot of places might depend more on people from out of state, but a lot of Texas people find you all and sort of in our own backyard, and yet we feel like we get away if we go down to South Padre there. Just for perspective here, the year before last, so 2019, you all saw there in South Padre 1.4 million people for spring break.
Yes, just for during spring break.
Wow,
yes,
that's huge. Fine. And then last year it all got shut down. Do we even know what to expect as far as numbers go this year, because it's such a strange year again?
Yes, it's very hard to predict, like, as you know, because it's unprecedented times. But I think that people are ready to go out. There, of course, the beaches, the outdoor places, they're like the to-go places. There are a lot of family reunions. So we're going to be focusing on the families. We're going to be focusing on a great place to be outside and enjoy and still practice social distancing and still being precautious. So we're expecting a good number. I mean, I won't say 1.4 million this spring break, but maybe, I mean, it will reach out to a million or more.
We heard the news from Governor Abbott about reopening Texas 100% this coming Wednesday, and the mask mandate is going away. How are people in South Padre Island accepting that? Are they excited about it? Are they concerned about it? Where are they?
Well, despite of the recent announcement from the governor, the city of South Padre Island is still going to be enforcing on the employees, the wearing the mask, keeping social distances. The restaurants, the hotels, and the different attractions are very strong into keeping those health guidelines from the CDC.
They suspended all special event beach permits until April the 15th, means no outdoor beach concerts.
Yes.
And the last thing that we read was that groups are limited to 10 people at most on the beach, and umbrellas have to be spaced apart by 15 feet. So what, I shouldn't hop in the car with Wheeler and all my buddies and roll down there and party? I mean, it sounds like that it's going to be a quieter party than normal.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the beach or the outdoors is a better place to keep that social distancing, even though if you bring your friends and buddies, I mean, you can all be together. Of course, you're not going to be all under one umbrella to chairs, but there's an opportunity to be together, to be close without being so close to everybody else.
Yeah, Jason needs to work on his tan, probably. You see how nice that tan is right there? It's been so cloudy here that he hasn't really worked on it yet.
Yeah, I need not to be crowded under umbrellas with anybody.
That's
and
right.
I can't
we need the sunshine, right?
I do. I need the sunshine. And I can't tell you how relieved I am that Jason and I won't be piling into a car with all of our buddies to head down there and party. So haven't a lot of places turned that corner in recent years anyway, where they're trying to discourage sort of that huge mass gathering of college students per se, and instead go after this sort of family market?
South Padre Island has always been for families, and however, spring break, of course, we were famous for having these big parties from the college, but things have changed. I mean, right now is the colleges don't have that extended spring break. Parents are apprehended and they want their family together. So that's why we have to move towards that.
Teresa, our last podcast talked about the struggle that so many restaurants are having, and the podcast was specifically about 1,000 restaurants a month on average are closing across the state of Texas. I know you guys were probably hit pretty hard, except for last summer, it sounds like, and you're hoping the spring's better. But give us an idea from your understanding. Did y'all have hotels closed, restaurants closed, clubs closed? What happened?
When I came to South Padre Island, I expected that there weren't going to be that many restaurants open. And I was very surprised at that. I mean, they were waiting 40 minutes in line, I mean, to have a table, because, of course, with the restrictions, we were in a full capacity. But what I mean is that the people are still coming. People are coming for the weekends. I see more restaurants in the area. I used to live in Rio Grande Valley 8 years ago, and I see a big difference. I see more restaurants, more hotels. So it's looking great. I mean, seeing all the palm trees, people walking, and then the golf carts. I mean, you see that there's life going on.
Do you ever see anybody rollerblading at all, though, Teresa? Does anyone ever rollerblade on the beach?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Well, we need to change that.
I've only been here 3 weeks.
Teresa, it's okay because it doesn't exist. Wheeler is a big rollerblader, and I think he's the last one.
You heard her, though. You heard her, though. She said she's only been there 3 weeks.
She said she hasn't seen
you. And I'm going to wait to see you guys.
Yeah. And Teresa, you've been nose to the grindstone the whole time. You probably haven't even left your office, so how would you see them?
No, especially with the turtles.
Back up here. I missed the whole turtle thing. Has there just been a huge influx of turtles? Is that what's going on?
Huge.
Yes. During the cold temperatures, remember the water temperature went to 30, 31 degrees. So a lot of turtles came out from the Laguna Madre, by the thousands. And wow. So we have over 5,000 turtles in the Commission and Visitors Bureau because they were stone cold. So once the temperatures get that cold, the turtles pass out. So they go to the surface and they're like out. So if they don't take them out, they're gonna be drowned.
Wow.
So a lot of volunteers, they were bringing them here. So we were getting a whole week of a great convention of turtles here.
It is a great story though, because again, these turtles will drown if they just float there at the top because they're sort of passed out and stunned. And we have people going out there and plucking them out of the water. The locals down there know what to do about this if it gets too cold.
Yes.
And so then you packed 5,000 turtles there into your offices, and you've had volunteers pouring in around the clock. This is almost a marketing person's dream, though, because look at all the media attention.
Oh,
they see
yes.
this community
oh,
outpouring there. And this is an endangered species, and it's a beloved creature, the sea turtle down there in South Padre. So what a great mascot to have to kick things off, and it's a great thing that you guys saved them.
They were great ambassadors for South Padre Island, believe me. I mean, we have media coverage from National Geographic, the Today Show, the ABC, NBC. I mean, all the networks, people calling from BBC, from London. I mean, it was incredible, the amount of coverage. And my first week, of course. So it was a great experience.
Yeah, welcome to the job.
Yes, thank you.
So now that you've seen that, you got to check the next thing off the list, which will be a rollerblader. Maybe it'll be me. I'll head down there.
That's right, yeah. That'll be a good story.
Talk about an endangered species. I mean, geez.
So Teresa, you know, going into these weeks ahead here, because we know that these spring break weeks are staggered across Texas, how crucial is this month, let's say? How crucial is this month going to be for so many of these businesses there in South Padre? Because you say, you know, that they've weathered it okay, this whole pandemic, but we know that it's been a struggle for a lot of these hotels and restaurants.
Yes.
How big of a deal is this next month now after last year was canceled?
Yeah, it's creating big expectations for the hotels, the restaurants, and the different attractions. Remember, the Mexican border also has been closed, and we're expecting them, it might be open after March 21st. And if that happens, we're getting a lot of Mexican nationals from northern Mexico that will love to come to South Padre Island.
I was going to ask you to put that into perspective, too.
Yes.
That is a huge part of business down there, is it not?
Oh, yes. Yes, I mean, for years and years, South Padre Island has been the place to go for a vacation. And we're so close. I mean, from Monterrey to here, you're talking about 3 hours crossing the border. So it's very close to them. And we're talking about 10 million people just...
Wait.
From Monterrey to the Rio Grande Valley, we're talking about 10 million people.
Wow, that's a huge number of people.
Because include the Monterrey or the Nuevo León area, include the Tamaulipas state, and just Monterrey and the metropolitan area has 5 million.
That's incredible. I've been to South Padre, but I never thought about that. We know about the trade,
yes.
Obviously, it goes back and forth across the border, but I didn't realize that people there really count on the Mexicans coming across.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Huh.
Yes. And they come here for two reasons, to the beach and shopping.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the two main things.
Teresa, thank you for taking the time with us today. We wish you a healthy and very prosperous spring break down there in South Padre. And,
thank you so much.
And congrats on the new gig.
No, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I hope to see you here soon and see that blading.
Thanks, Teresa.
So, Jason, she's inviting you down to rollerblade, man. She's going to look for you, the only rollerblader down there, maybe. That's where you can take the wheeler ladies this weekend.
She invited me. She's going to regret that. And you know what? One of my daughters rollerblades as well now. I got her started in it. And in fact, I just went with her not long ago. She actually went with her dad and, you know, braved being out in public with her dad, which at that age is hard to do. And I will have you know, I just rollerbladed a couple of days ago, and I wanted to, you know, it would have looked creepy, but I wanted to snap pictures of all of these people who were coming from the opposite direction. I saw probably 8 rollerbladers in the span of about 30 minutes. It's a real thing. It's a movement.
It's a movement. Yeah, you guys are moving. At your advanced age, my friend, I would be careful with that. I hope you wear a helmet.
I will tell you that just like me, most of them looked to be probably in their 20s.
Yeah, just like you. Remember, just Dennis like Byrd was born on the 29th, so he can claim 10.2 years old. you can't do that.
You're right. I said they looked like they were 20.
Right.
As always, everybody, thank you for putting up with us for this entire podcast. If you're traveling, you know, for spring break or for whatever, very safe travels to you, you know, both on the road and in the air, and as you know, as well as being in restaurants and all of these other places as we try this experiment again of going back to quote unquote normal as far as capacity goes in these days ahead.
And don't forget about the synopsis either in the description of our podcast here. We'd really appreciate some feedback. Hope you guys have a great spring break, whether it's this week, next week, whenever it might be. Be careful out there and watch out for those rollerbladers as well.
Yeah, and I'm just about to finally get out on the road. Nothing like leaving for a big trip on a Tuesday.
But everyone's hair is going to look great in your car, between yours and your wife's and everyone else's. I mean, you guys, don't roll the windows down. Don't mess it up, right?
No, I'm a windows down kind of guy, and that will be our first fight on the road.
I'm going to spit up my beer, man. All right.
Probably the first of many.
All right, guys. Hope you have a great spring break. We'll see you all next Tuesday.